Local coverage of Arizona sustainability news on KJZZ is supported by Intel Corporation. Intel is committed to sustainable water management in Arizona and around the world. Learn more at intel.com/Arizona.
Population growth in the region surrounding the U.S.-Mexico border is putting pressure on our limited water supply. So starting today, the University of Texas at El Paso and El Paso Water are bringing together stakeholders and experts for a border water summit that will address the issues facing the municipal water agencies of the border cities. Jeff Biggs, administrator for the Strategic Initiatives Division of Tucson Water, has been invited to discuss how Arizona fits in with the rest of the nation regarding water reuse and how strategies utilized here can be shared with Mexico.
Right now, as far as 2015 data, we are the second highest nationally in per capita for reuse in the United States, behind Florida and ahead of California and Texas. So we've been using reuse water in the state of Arizona for many, many years, 35 to 40 years in some areas. And in fact, you can go back to the 1920s up in the Grand Canyon Village, where the history of reuse in Arizona actually began. In 1926, they used a wastewater treatment plant effluent to use for toilet flushing and boiler feed water for power generation and for steam locomotives. So the state of Arizona has been using reuse water for decades.
For more on the big issues facing water in the border region, I got a hold of Ed Archuleta, Director of Water Initiatives at the University of Texas at El Paso, and I started by asking him to outline for us the main concerns for water authorities in border cities right now.
Well, the biggest issue, obviously, is the fact that there's rapid population growth in the Southwest and certainly along the border, and also the fact that climate change, you know, has affected the river supplies on the Colorado River, the Rio Grande. Both, of course, feed border communities so up and down the border from all the way from California all the way to Brownsville. There's been a lot of progress made since the North American Free Trade Agreement, but still a lot remains because that was based on taking care of more of an existing problem and not so much looking to the future. So that's one of the focuses. And, of course, the other important part is what do we do about it?
Right. And we'll get into those solutions in a minute. But I want to start by talking more about the problems. I know we've been facing a long drought for a long time here. How does it work right now? How do we divvy up those resources?
Well, they're based on treaties. They're based on 1944 treaties that were established between the United States and Mexico. They're well-established treaties, but there are, of course, you know, areas of interpretation and disputes. Certainly that's been a big issue in the Lower Rio Grande over many years. But I think what's going to be presented is a what they call it a minute, which is basically an agreement that was reached between the United States and Mexico last fall on the Colorado River that at least prepares, you know, the agencies for the future in terms of how they're going to work areas where they can conserve water and reuse water, but also how to prepare for and not wait till the last minute, you know, as the drought continues in terms of how the waters are divided.
Yeah. And you mentioned NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. How has it affected water issues in the region?
Well, I mean, it's all been positive. Of course, right now people are concerned, not only in the business community, but in the water community, so to speak, about, you know, what the discussions are going to be politically with regard to any amendments or, you know, even talk, as you know, about doing away with NAFTA.
Right, the renegotiation that's happening now with the Trump administration.
Right, but I think the main thing, NAFTA basically established two agencies between the U.S. and Mexico. They set up the Border Environment Cooperation Commission, which is headquartered in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, and the North American Development Bank, which is in San Antonio. And the BEC, or the Border Environment Cooperation Commission, they do the planning, and then the bank has done the financing. Initially, it was a lot of grants, but more recently, it's been more low-interest loans, you know, that are available to U.S. and Mexico communities along the border. So those have resulted in a lot of projects being built and a lot of progress, but there's a lot that remains to be done, particularly when you look at what I mentioned, the population growth and perhaps dwindling water supplies in the future.
Right. So one of those solutions you said is desalination technology. Where does that stand now? Is this something that could be a legitimate possibility to help alleviate the drought in the future?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the technology that's occurred and research that's occurred makes it a viable option for communities on both sides of the border, other communities. There'll be discussions about, you know, a facility being built in the Baja that would be basically shared in terms of costs among agencies, you know, on the U.S. and Mexican side, that basically would be able to treat seawater, but maybe in exchange for some of the Colorado River water upstream. But I think the major opportunity is actually in smaller systems and smaller desalination systems that can be built in smaller communities along the border. And of course, we also have the reclamation and reuse of water, which is another option.
So big picture, as we look forward, and this drought doesn't seem to be going anywhere, are we going to need solutions like desalination to have enough water for this growing population in this region?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. As a matter of fact, since I'm in the water business, I really think that water is the most important issue along the U.S.-Mexico border. I know politically it's a rhetoric about immigration, building a border wall, those kind of things. But when you look at the future, it has to be water that's going to be the driving force in terms of, you know, the growth and development of these communities, and hopefully have sustainable water supplies that, you know, that meet the quality of life that people want and expect on both sides of the border.
All right. Ed Archuleta is the Director of Water Initiatives at the University of Texas at El Paso. Ed, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you very much.